You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
There is a heaven to gain, and there's a hell to shun. Amen. Life is short, heaven's high, hell is hot. Praise God, we've got to get on with the business that really matters, the business of heaven. You and I, when we die, are going to go somewhere. We're going to go to hell, or we're going to go to heaven. Hopefully, us here that know Jesus, you know, if you know him, you're going to go to heaven. According to the Scripture, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I can assure you, according to Scripture, that Jesus is in heaven. And so if we're going to be present with the Lord when we leave this body, then we're going to be in heaven. Amen. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Amen. I'm not taking tickets right now. We're not trying to get it loaded up at the moment. But the good news is that this is not the final resting place. In other words, the way the world is now. We're going to come back down here, but it's going to be a different world. There's going to be a new heaven. There's going to be a new earth. And in that new earth, nothing's ever going to die. No one's ever going to get sick. Are you with me? We'll never neither hunger nor thirst. There'll be no more pain, no more sighing, no crying. Hallelujah. Praise God. But now there is sorrow. Now there is pain. You know, this world is a broken world. It's not a perfect world. It was made perfect. It was made good. But sin entered into it. And when sin entered into it, the Bible says death came by sin. And that wasn't God's fault. And that wasn't God's plan. That was man rebelling against God's plan. The man's name was Adam. It's all in the Bible. It's there for the reading. And when he sinned, he brought death into the world. Romans, the 5th chapter, talks about it. We often blame God for all the pain, the misery in the world. But really, the world is in the pain and misery is in because of what Adam did some 6,000 years ago. And God's going to turn it all around and change it. He's going to redeem the earth. So far, he's just redeemed us, but he's going to redeem our bodies at one point. Right now, our bodies are dying. The outward man perisheth. The inward man's renewed day by day. Right now, we have funerals. Right now, we have hospitals. Right now, we get sick. Are you with me? Thank God there's healing. There's we can tip the scales in our favor, but you're not going to beat death. You're going to die. I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just telling you the reality of it. Are you with me? I can prophesy here that we will all die if Jesus doesn't come back. But the good news, hallelujah, the good news is there is a heaven out there that we're going to go to. Amen. Amen. And then the earth we come back to is going to be a lot better earth than the one we left. Praise the Lord. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew 6. Just a few verses that you know you should be familiar with. You've heard them over and over. Sometimes it's good to just get the whites of our eyes on them. Amen. To actually a new concept, to read them. Are you out there? You know, you hear a lot of scripture. You hear a lot of sermons preached and scriptures quoted. And sometimes scriptures are misquoted. But you ought to check it out for yourself. See what God says himself to you. See, God doesn't have grandkids. He just has kids. You can't go in on somebody else's faith. You got to believe God yourself. Amen. You got to call on Jesus. You got to trust in Jesus. You got to turn your life over to him. I can't do it for you. I can explain it to you, but I can't make you understand. Are you out there? Yeah. You ever had that situation where you're trying to explain something to somebody and you're doing everything you can, using every example you can, and they're just not getting it, you know, and you feel like, I don't know what else to do. But it's not my job, really, or your job, to make them understand. You put the information out, they have to, you know. So that actually will set you free there. Matthew 6, I know you know this. This is Jesus responding to them asking or responding to a prayer, what prayer is about, how to pray, because he talked about how to not to pray. Then he talked about how to pray. And it's often called the Lord's Prayer, but it's not the Lord's Prayer. It's actually a prayer for us to pray. And it's like an index prayer is what they called it. They just had categories in there. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You cover all these categories. Real common back then. All these traveling rabbis, and Jesus was considered that. Of course, he was the Son of God. A little different. But all those traveling rabbis had what they called an index prayer, a prayer that they prayed with their disciples. And so the disciples wanted one, you know. And Jesus said, well, this is the manner, the pattern, after this manner or pattern pray. It wasn't necessarily just to be prayed verbatim, although we memorize it, and everybody that's ever been in battle or been in war or been in foxhole knows this prayer. This one in Psalms 23, we can just quote it, you know, verbatim. But actually, he was talking about just categories of prayer. Pray, first worship. First come in there and say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Worship him. Are you with me? Now, I'm not taking the prayer part. I actually want to just center in on this one verse here. Notice it says, Our Father, which art in heaven. Hallelujah. You and I have a Father in heaven. There is a heaven, and there is a hell, and there is an earth that we live in. We're living in this earth. But our home right now is heaven. Eventually, our home will be a new earth here on the earth. So he says, In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Goes on and says, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. We're to pray that God's will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Everybody say, as it is. Nowhere in the Bible do you see God asking you to pray for heaven. You don't pray for anybody in heaven. You don't pray for anything in heaven. Heaven doesn't have bad days. Heaven doesn't have hurricanes. Heaven doesn't have tornadoes. Are you with me? Heaven doesn't have epidemics. Are you out there? Heaven doesn't have strife. Oh, come on now. Heaven never gets in trouble. In fact, he never asks you to pray for anything in heaven. Heaven is where we're going. Hallelujah. And it's a much better place than we are here. Amen. You know, there's no board or prayer list up there for people that need prayer that we need to be lifting up, you know, in the name of Jesus. There's nobody that we need to take food by their house. There's nobody we need to go lay hands on, call up and encourage. They don't get depressed in heaven. There's no depression up there. There's nothing up there but joy. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord, is what Jesus said. Joy is the serious business of heaven. The Bible tells us in his presence is fullness of joy. Hallelujah. You ever had a happy day down here? That's nothing compared to what's going to be like in heaven. There's going to be rejoicing in heaven. They're singing in heaven. They're dancing in heaven. Hallelujah. Larry is in heaven. Praise God. He is up there rejoicing. He's having the best days of his life right now. Every day above ground is a good day, but your best day is the day you don't get up, because that's when you go into heaven. Hallelujah. You go where God is. You go where your Father is. Our Father in heaven. See, this has always been a temporary trip. It's always been a short journey. We've treated it as if it were everything, and it's not. We've treated it as if it were ultimate reality, and it's not ultimate reality. In fact, really, the truth be known, it's nothing but a shadow of what we got coming. Everything here is just a shadow. Everything here is just a picture. It's like going off on a trip and bringing back a photo album and trying to explain to everybody how majestic those mountains look or how awesome the waves of the sea look. You just cannot do it justice. You look at the pictures and it looks pretty, and it's a pretty good representation, but it's still nothing like being there. And we even have those feelings come back when we're showing those pictures and we'll say, oh, you should have been there. It just doesn't get the whole feeling of, I mean, really, that's beautiful. Man, when you're standing there, you see, everything down here is like that. Even at its best, it's just a copy. It's just a picture. It's just a photo album. And you and I are living in a photo album. But one day, we're going to go to where all the pictures came from. We're going to go to where all the images came, all the shadows came from, all these things that were created out of heaven from God our Father. We're going to go to heaven. We're going to see real mountains like they've never been seen before. We're going to look at rivers like you've never seen a river before. You're going to walk through a river, and you're not going to drown when you go through it either. You're going to walk right through the bottom up and right out the other side and never lose just an ounce of breath. No one ever dies. Nothing ever rots up there. I mean, everything's just perfect. Everything's pristine. Everything's real. Everything's shining. Everything emanates. There are no shadows up there in anything. You will not find a shadow in heaven. There are no shadows there. You won't find sin there. There is no sin there. You won't find down days and bad days. It just can't happen in heaven. Hallelujah. It's a wonderful place. You ever had any good in your life, if you ever had any joy in your life, if you ever had any blessing in your life, any bit, any peace, any day, any week of your life, if you can think of any memories of any time in your life where things went your way and Mr. Bluebird was on your shoulder, you don't want to miss heaven, because heaven's like that all the time. Are you with me? It's like that all the time. If you ever had any bad days where things didn't go right, where you got some bad news and you were shocked and you were a shell of a person, if you ever had any painful days, if you ever had any depressed days, if you ever had any days where you just didn't think you could make it another moment, you want to be sure to miss hell. OK, because it's like that all the time. See, hell's the opposite of heaven, and heaven's the opposite of hell. Heaven's where God is. And where God is, there's peace, there's joy. Hallelujah. There's victory. And see, just think about it. All those things we mentioned, talk about, really, I mean, life is about people, isn't it? It's about relationships. It's about friends. It's about fellow, about people who care for you and love you, people you hang around with and love to be with. Well, there's nobody like our Father. You want to be where He is. You want to go where He is. Oh, my goodness. Our Father, well, He's in heaven. Amen? Turn over to Acts, first chapter. Praise God. We're just talking about heaven. Heaven's a wonderful place. It's a real place. It's the most real place. You know, I often think of visitations, supernatural visitations throughout the Word of God. And you'll see many times an angel would appear or God Himself would appear. He actually appeared to Moses, you know, we know that. In fact, 75 elders went up and sat down and ate meat in the presence of God. God actually passed by Moses, and while he was in the cleft of a rock, He said, you're going to have to get in the cleft of this rock. And He passed by just His backside. He didn't look Him right in the face. See, He must have been able to appear in His glory and out of His glory, because Moses, it says Moses talked to Him face to face. But then He said, I want to see Your glory. And he said, basically, you can't see My glory and live. I tell you what, you get in this rock and I'll just back over it. In other words, if He'd turned His face, it probably just melted Moses' body. But just Him looking at His backside as He passed by the cleft of that rock. The Bible says when Moses came off that mountain, they couldn't even look on Moses' face because he shone so much. The glory had got on him. That he had to put a veil over his face to even talk to Him. They said, we can't even look at you because it was so bright and it was so real. And that was just a reflection of looking at God from behind. Oh, think about it. And think about when the angels would appear many times in the Old Testament, they would appear when they appeared in their glory, like Daniel the 10th chapter. Daniel fell down and the breath left his body. John saw Jesus after the resurrection in His glory in Revelation, the first chapter. And when Jesus appeared to him, His eyes were like a flame of fire. He glistened like the sun. His feet were like burnished brass. And He said, I fell down and the breath left my body. Now, why was that? I mean, we think about that. Well, He saw a spirit. No, He didn't see a spirit. He saw reality. He saw substance. He saw something more real than He'd ever seen in all His life. Heaven is more real than anything down here. Heaven is more solid than the chair you're sitting on. You don't believe that? Well, the whole earth passed away. Everything you see is going to pass away. Everything you see is mortal. Everything you see will decay. You and I are going to live on and on and on. You know, the most solid part of you is your spirit. Your spirit's what's eternal. We don't even realize this. We think we're humans having a spiritual experience. We are a spirit having a human experience. And one day, just like Larry, we're going to step out of this human body and we're going to go right on into heaven. And we'll come back and get this body, but it's got to be changed because this body can't stand heaven. This body cannot handle that kind of reality, that kind of pressure. It's just too real in heaven. If you walk around in heaven with these feet right here, the blades of grass will stick through you like knives. If it ever rained, it would shoot through you like bullets because you're just not real enough. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Cannot do it. No, this corruptible is going to have to put on incorruption. This mortal is going to have to put on immortality. Death is going to have to be swallowed up of life, hallelujah, and that's going to happen when Jesus comes. In a moment, in the twinkle of an eye, the trumpet will sound and Jesus will come and we will be changed, hallelujah. We won't all sleep, but we will be changed. I always say that's a good thing to put in the nursery, you know, a big sign. They will not all sleep, but they will be changed. Anyway, just a thought. But think about it. We got the whole thing turned around. We think this is real and that's kind of ethereal or mystical or vaporish. No, the Bible says, what is your life? It is but a vapor. This life here is a short, it's a blip on a chart. Well, if you lived 100 years or 120 years or 200 years, what's that compared to eternity? This body wears, this body can't handle a lot of old age. Do you know that? I think, you know, people dying, and we often say, well, God took it. Well, God didn't take anybody. You know what takes you? This world takes you. This broken world takes your body, and it starts aging it right off the bat. And then before long, the outward man just perisheth. It perishes. But the inward man's renewed day by day. And so what happens, and we don't see this because it hadn't happened to any of us yet, but it's going to. What we don't see is at that point, at that time, when this body just wears out, whatever happens, whatever causes death, whether it's an accident or a disease or just old age or whatever, what we don't see is we just step out of this body, whoo, and go right up on into heaven and stand in the presence of God. Because we never were our body. We were just in it. Amen? Only for a short time. We're going to have to get another body to live up there. It's just too real up there. That's why the breath left them. That's why they fell down, because they finally saw something real for the first time in their whole life. Thought all this was real, but see, we've got these glasses on. I'm not talking about these right here. I'm talking about this flesh. That's what Paul said. He said, now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now we know in part, but then we will know as we are known. All of a sudden, our mind will open up. Everything's going to open up. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. You think that was great when you got saved, and yet that's the greatest thing that ever happened to you on this earth, for sure. But when you step off into that life and you see for the first time, it'll all make sense. It'll all come alive. You'll see clearer than you ever saw before. Pristine and clean. Hallelujah. You'll look at Jesus, you'll see him, and all those times you were saved and all those times you were spared and all those times he moved in your life that you didn't actually know it, you'll look at him and you'll go, that was you. Because he's always been, what's the goodness of this life and this earth and this universe he made, he's always been behind all the goodness and all the love and all the mercy. And he has always wooed us and tried to get us to come to him. And no one goes to hell, God sending them there. Everyone goes to hell because they reject God, or they don't receive him, or they don't call out to him. Everyone that's in hell, Jesus died for. They just didn't accept. They didn't accept the receipt. Are you with me? Acts 1. Y'all found it? Of course, after Jesus, you know, appeared to him, and after the resurrection, he appeared to 40 days. He was seen. And he appeared to his disciples, and he told them to tarry in Jerusalem until they be endued with power from on high. He's talking about the baptism with the Holy Ghost, what we call the Holy Ghost today. He wasn't telling them to stay in Jerusalem to get saved. I mean, they were already saved. All the scriptures on salvation had to do with believing in Jesus, that he died, that he rose again. Amen. Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God raised him from dead, you shall be saved. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. All scriptures about salvation had to do with believing in Jesus, believing he rose from the dead. Are you with me? But he didn't say that here. He said, tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. He was talking about power, not salvation, not getting saved. They were saved. In fact, we're saved so we can have power. And so he says, you shall be endued with power. You know, after the Holy Ghost come upon you, shall be witnesses. Well, the story goes on. I'm not teaching on that. I just can't help mention it. Hallelujah. Y'all out there. 10th verse says, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up. Hallelujah. I love that one. And that's kind of symbolic. I know actually when we say heaven is up, well, I don't know if it's up off the earth, but I mean, where is it if you're in Australia? Would you have to go through the earth over here and then go up? You know, it's up. It's off the earth, as it were. It's not the earth. That's what they're trying to say. But heaven is like a dimension. In fact, it's like a portal opens up. Boom, you're there. It's not somewhere you could get to if you had a rocket ship that would take you far enough to get there. Heaven is more a dimension. It's a real place. Just like this the world is in a dimension, the natural world as we know it. Because Jesus actually, they saw him go right up into heaven. John, in the 4th chapter of Revelation, he saw a door opened in heaven. You know, like those sci-fi movies, a portal or something opens up. I don't know, you know, maybe they're... This is better than Steven Spielberg, though. But there was a dimension right there. I mean, how could you see that far? He actually saw Jesus standing there saying, come up, hither, and I'll show you things that must be hereafter. There was a door open. He saw him, but it was close enough for him to see. It was like the heavens, just the air just ripped open, and there he was. Wow. Oh, wow. And man, he went up in the spirit. It was on the, he was, in fact, it said he was in the spirit on the Lord's day when God visited him. And then he went up into heaven and he saw those things, all those things we talk about, the seals, the trumpets, the vials that are mentioned, and then the coming of the Lord, and then the 1,000-year reign of Christ, and then the new heavens, the new earth. He saw all that while he was up in heaven. Woo! Oh, hallelujah. So it says here, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, they looked up. As he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Well, that was angels. Amen? Standing there. Could have been some of our brethren, I don't know. You know, at one time John fell down to worship one of those quote-unquote angels, and he said, I'm of your brethren. Are you with me? Walking around up there in heaven. There's a lot of people walking around up there right now. There's people for the last 2,000 years that have been dying and going to heaven that knew Jesus up in heaven right now. And we talk about Larry going to heaven. Larry's going to heaven. His two sons are up there. He's seeing his two sons. He's seeing all kinds of relatives and folks. And it's a big reunion. Amen. It says, while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven. He went up into heaven. So shall come in like manner as you have seen him go up into heaven. Everybody say, go into heaven. See, you can enter into heaven. And that's what happens if you're a Christian, if you know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Stephen, when he was stoned, he said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Well, his body died. His spirit went right on into heaven. Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord. Absent from the body as if it were a thing, not a person. Something we're carrying around here, just like I'd wear a suit or drive a car. I'm inside it. I'm not the car. I'm not the suit. To be absent from the suit is to be, the absent from the car is to be, you know. And that's what you do, isn't it? When you drive up your house, you pull up in the driveway, you get out of the car, you're absent from the car because you're home. Isn't that right? So when someone knows Jesus as Lord and Savior, when they die, they just go home. Amen. They didn't leave. They just went home. They went back home. We're still away from home. This is not our home. Oh, that's better preaching. Y'all are amen. Oh, come on. It says, you men of Galilee, why stand gazing up into heaven? Why are you standing here? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come in like manner as you have seen him go up into heaven. And I mean on and on and on. I just brought out one verse about the Father in heaven. There's many verses that say that Jesus in heaven. Many verses that talk about Jesus, how he's passed. We have a high priest in the heavenlies, you know. He's passed up into the heavens. And we know for certain that he's at the right hand of God in heaven. Over and over the scripture tells us that. Praise God. Turn over to Mark 13. Heaven. Ooh, that's where I want to go. How about you? I want to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven. If Jesus comes back, that'll be fine. I'll just be changed in this body while I'm in it and taken up. That's wonderful. If he doesn't, well, you know, I'll leave this body and go right on into glory. You know, we don't hear a lot of teaching about heaven. And I know you can't just preach on it every service because you've got so many other things you need to minister on. But sometimes we need to stop and talk about heaven. Talk about this place that's 1,500 miles long and 1,500 miles wide and 1,500 miles high, the one that's described in Revelation chapter 21 and 22. That's often, you know, we describe heaven, really what we're describing is what's called New Jerusalem, what is going to come down and sit down on this earth after the 1,000-year reign of Christ, after the great white throne judgment in Revelation chapter 20. Then there's going to be a new heaven, a new earth. And then there's going to be New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. Now, the pearly gates and streets of gold and all that, that's 21, 22 Revelation. That's actually where we're going to live forever down here on this earth. And it's an awesome place. It's just filled with people that know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Are you with me? And there's a crystal river that runs down from the throne down through that whole city. I think it's probably shaped kind of like a pyramid. I don't know. Some people say it's a cube, but I don't think that makes sense. The Bible doesn't say it's a cube. It just says it's 1,500 miles long, it's 1,500 miles wide, and it's 1,500 miles high. So it's a square on the bottom, but it probably comes up like a peak, like Mount Zion. Are you with me? And the throne, the Bible says, is on the top of it. And it doesn't need the light of day because the light of the Lamb and of God lighten the whole city. And it lightens the whole city because the city is crystal. It's not just the streets are gold. The Bible says the whole city is gold, and it's transparent gold that you can see through. So anywhere you are in the city, you can see Jesus. You can see right through everything. I like that, because if you could see through the whole Bible, you'd see Jesus. If you could see what God was doing in Genesis, you'd see Jesus. If you could see what he's doing in Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, you would see Jesus. If you could see what God was doing from Genesis to Revelation, you would always, if you could see through it all, you would always see Jesus. Jesus has always been what he's been doing. Amen? But heaven is a place that's transparent. Heaven is a place that's beyond lavish. It's beyond rich. It's beyond all that. Heaven is where God lives. Heaven is where Jesus lives. Heaven is where, here in Mark 13, it says, but at 13:32, actually starts out and he says, heaven and earth have passed away. And he's talking about as we know it now. It's going to be the heaven renewed, heaven changed, and earth changed. He says, but that day and that hour, the coming of the Lord. You often hear people saying Jesus come back September, you know, the September the 20th or September whatever at 1988. Remember that book that was written? Or you'll hear somebody say, I got a revelation. I know he's going to come back next year, such, such, such date. Well, as soon as they set a date, you know they're wrong. As soon as they set a date, you know they're wrong. Because Jesus says here, but of that day and that hour knoweth no man, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. So nobody knows when Jesus come back. He can come back right now. He can come back today. Or he might come back in 10 years. Or he might come back, I don't know. But we ought to live as if he could come back any day. But as soon as you set a date, if God had that date to come back, he'd change it. Because you can't know it. Isn't that what it says? Now, we're not ignorant of the times or the seasons, but we can't know the day. But the point I'll make here, what does it say here? It says, neither the angels which are in heaven. Oh, hallelujah. So God's up there, Jesus up there, and all these angels are up there. In fact, the Bible also tells us that every little child, their angel, stands in the presence of the Father in heaven and beholds the face of their Father in heaven. Every one of us have an angel. I don't think you ought to talk to them. You shouldn't be sending them, commanding them to do stuff. They actually take their orders from God, but their order is to take care of you and take care of me. And they have saved you time and time again. You just didn't know it. When you pray, God dispatches them. Even Jesus didn't send angels. Jesus actually, he said in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, don't you know I can pray to my Father and he will send me 12 legions of angels? Y'all remember that angel that showed up and when Peter was in jail in the 12th chapter of Acts? You know, they'd already beheaded James and now they're going to go after Peter because it went over so well. He said, the Jews like that. And so he's getting ready to kill Peter. But the angel came down. Ooh, man. And appeared right in his cell, 12th chapter of the book of Acts. And the Bible says he kicked him in the side and woke him up. And he says, get up. And all of his chains fell off. He got up. He said, follow me. And so he took him out, and every gate was open until he got to the last gate. And when he got outside the last gate, the angel disappeared, and there was Peter all by himself set free. Notice that Peter didn't tell that angel anything. That angel told Peter something. That angel was sent by God to take care of Peter. Just like angels are sent by God to take care of us. And I don't see them. I don't know them. I might run across them and not even be aware of it because some have entertained angels unaware, the Bible says in Hebrews 13, verse 2. It says, be careful when you're entertaining strangers, for some have entertained angels unaware. And you've heard of stories of accidents and so on. Someone showed up, some good Samaritan saved somebody, and nobody even knows who they are, you know. It can happen. But, beside the point, I'm making here is, they live in heaven, and there's a lot more good angels than there are bad angels. In fact, the Bible tells us only a third of the angels fell with Satan. So you and I, hey, listen, we got the devil outnumbered 2-1 just on angels. But if you didn't even know that, you got God on your side. If God before you, who can be against you? Amen. Greater is he that's in you than he's in the world. So we win. You can't. I hate to be quoting Reverend Ike, but Reverend Ike, I don't know if you know him. He's just charlatan on TV. But I think he said you can't lose with the stuff we use or something like that. Now, hey, don't go watch it, Reverend Ike. I am not advocating that at all. In fact, I don't think I've ever seen him. I just heard that saying. But notice what it says, of that day that hour knoweth no man, 32nd verse, know not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. So now we got God in heaven, we got Jesus in heaven, we got the angels in heaven. Wouldn't you like to fellowship with those people? I mean, those are friends you need, amen? I hate to even say friends. This is our Father we're talking about and our Lord and Savior we're talking about. And the ones that have been protecting us all these years that have been dispatched by God to take care of us and saved us and spared us. And, you know, one of my favorite old pictures. In fact, Opal, you had that picture. Brenda's mom and daddy has moved to Will's Point, y'all. They have, yeah, I meant to announce that earlier. But they are officially Will's Pointites. Hallelujah. But you remember that picture you had of the angel? The kids were hanging on the bridge, and there was an angel had their hand over. Y'all probably see it's a classic picture. It's a little, you got that picture? A little bridge, arc of a bridge, and these kids are leaning over real far, and there's an angel standing there. Well, I believe that. I believe it's exactly the way it is. And I'm not looking for angels. I'm not trying to talk to angels. I don't want to send angels. I'm just trusting God and believing God and giving God all the glory. Amen. But one of the ways God protects us is that he sends angels. I believe this room is filled with angels right now as we speak. You can't see them because, like I said before, they're in another dimension. But if all of a sudden the veil were pulled away and God were to open your eyes, you'd see this room filled with angels right now. Probably going, amen. Amen. Preach it, brother. Preach it. Hallelujah. And they're watching us and they're guarding us and camped around about us. The Bible says the angels of the Lord encamps around about those that fear him. Amen. So we know angels are very much involved in our lives and helping us. But we trust God and we pray to God and we talk to God and he dispatches them. Just I always look at it like an electric company. You don't go pull the truck off on the side of the road and run down the lineman and say, hey, come over to my house and fix my, you know, electricity. He'll tell you, or emphatically, they'll say, well, you know, I'd like to do that, but you need to call the office and put an order in the office because I get my orders from the office. And you can argue all day long. You can say, well, I pay your bills. I'm the one that pays the electric bill. I need you over at my house. I'll say, I understand that, but protocol is you have to put your order into the office. They give me an order, and then I come out. Now, that's the way the angels are. We don't tell them what to do. We place our orders in when we pray. Our needs, we confess our needs, we pray for our needs, we ask God to help us. And you know what? He dispatches angels as he will. Because if we did it, it'd get all messed up. We'd have them going every which way, wouldn't we? And I can't imagine the mess it would get into if we were in charge of that oh my goodness. Okay. Anyway, angels are in heaven. How'd you like to be around those people that took care of you all your life? Wouldn't you like to have some conversation? I think we probably will. I mean, we're gonna be there forever. You know, we're gonna meet Bob, or around here would probably be Bubba. We're gonna meet whatever his name is, the angel. You know, and hear some stories. You know, oh yeah. You never knew this, and you know, here they go. Yeah, but one day you were out here doing this, and I reached over and I spared your life. I kept you from, because your mama was praying. Are you with me? Because your daddy was praying her. Your grandma was bleeding for you. You almost bit the dust then. We almost had you in heaven, but I couldn't let it happen. Your mom was praying for you and believing God protect you. And you know, and God said, No, hold on to him. Stuff like that happens. You don't even know it. Don't even have a clue. It's going on all the time. Spared your life while you're driving down the road, didn't even know it, you know. Whew, hallelujah. Man, yeah, I want to go to heaven. I'd like to see those angels. I'd like to see, talk to them. I want to see Jesus, of course, more than anything. See God, see Jesus. But see, there's all these angels up there too. Ephesians 3rd chapter, turn there. Y'all get anything out of this? I'm just perusing through the scriptures. Talking about heaven. Wonderful place, hallelujah. You know, I think of those streets of gold. I mean, you know, if we could, we often think we'd like to take some of this stuff with us. You know, if you took gold with you, I mean, they'd look at you funny and sideways and said, why would you bring, that's like asphalt up here. That's what we pave our streets with. You took all your diamonds and all your jewelry and everything up there and said, I'd bring this bag with me. They said, well, you can throw that over on a wall because that's what we make our wall out of. 12 different stones, 216 feet high, diamonds and rubies and Are you with me? And emeralds and just nothing but crystal clear jewels. And that's what you see when you walk up to heaven. And the wall, think about it, is 1,500 miles long with three gates in it. And you turn the corner, it goes another 1,500 miles. There's another three gates in it. Over the top of each gate's one of the names of the tribes of Israel. Pearly gates, one solid pearl, so big you could just pass in and out of it. Make their gates out of pearls. Make their walls different foundations. Each foundation is a different stone. And in the name, every level, every foundation has the name of an apostle. 12 foundations, over 200 feet high. Wow. Can you imagine what it looked like at a distance? A golden city that rises 1,500 miles high out of the earth, surrounded by like a necklace that's 6,000 miles all the way around it. Oh, my. That's where you're going to live. Hey, never have to lock your gates either. No security system. Don't need one. Amen? You got a mansion in glory. Jesus said, I go away and prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I would have told you. If I go away, I come again and I receive you to myself. Philip said, where are you going to go? He said, well, and how do we get there? And Jesus said, well, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I tell you where we're going. We're going to go to heaven. That's where we're going to go. Then we're going to go to the new earth. This whole city's going to come down and sit down on this earth. All the way from New York to Florida. From Canada, actually, to Florida. From New York all the way across to Denver, Colorado. Solid city. Yep. Oh, my goodness. Ephesians, you found it? Mm-hmm. Ephesians 3rd chapter. This is one of the classic prayers that we pray. And there's several of them, you know, and this is one of them. 3:14 says, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For this reason. From whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. I'll tell you, we got family in heaven. The whole family of heaven and earth. When you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you took on a whole new family, that's for sure. And you got family here and you got family there. And surely a lot of us today could talk about family that we've got in heaven. Amen. Family that's up there waiting on us. Hallelujah. Mama Hardy, I was up there just waiting on us. Mama Hardy, I tell you, she was something else. I preached her funeral, and that's Opal's mama. And she got turned on and got in Pentecost, you know, and every time you pray for her, boy, she'd get excited and get to speaking, and the Holy Ghost would come on her. Even when she was laying in bed all hooked up with all those cords and hoses and everything, you'd go and pray for her, and I'd lay hands on her and pray for her. And, man, she'd start speaking in tongues and start just jerking around there on that bed. And I thought, oh, man, she's going to have a time in heaven. I remember I preached one time at it was a Baptist church that they had gone Holy Ghost. It was a good friend of mine. And the pastor had, and he'd asked me to come minister. And I ministered on prayer, something real simple. And Mama Hardy was there. And she came up to be prayed for, and I thought, oh, boy, she's going to throw a fit in front of all these Baptists, and we're going to have a time. So she wound up, she came up, and I was just fixing to pray for her, and she started out like this. Ooh, she'd do this, and then she'd do a Pentecostal runaway. So I just reached around and grabbed her and started praying for her. Shut her down. and she calmed down, and everything's fine. She's up in heaven, though. She's up there right now. And a lot of my relatives are up there. Your relatives are up there. Think about it. Why would you not want to go to heaven? I think it was E.V. Hill said this. He was preaching on hell. And he's preaching on hell and heaven. I think he was preaching at Coral Ridge Church, whatever. Oh, what was that guy? I can't remember his name now. But anyway, he was preaching about heaven. He says, you know, the Holy Spirit invites you to heaven. The Spirit and the bride say, come, the Bible says. Jesus invited you to heaven. God invited you to heaven. And every preacher that preaches the truth invites you to heaven, to go to heaven. And nobody in hell ever invites you to hell. Nobody. In fact, the rich man that was in hell, he said, please send somebody to tell my brothers so they don't go down here. Nobody in hell wants anybody to come to hell with them. Nobody. And he said this. He says, Mama, he said, Mama always told me, son, it's just not right to go somewhere that you're not invited. Are you with me? We're all invited to heaven, every one of us. We're all invited to spend eternity with God and Jesus and the angels and all of our family that's gone on before us. We're invited to a place of perfect peace and perfect joy and perfect bliss, heavenly bliss. We even use that term. Why in the world would we ever want to go anywhere else? I do not know. And why will we live in a manner, you know, that like we're not going there? I mean, I get excited about going somewhere, don't you? I start picking out stuff and packing stuff and looking, thinking about what I'm going to do when I get there. You know, we need to get ready. Yeah. Heaven's coming. Yes. Amen. I'm going there. I got that. I understand that. But I want to live in a way, you know, that looks like I'm going there. Got one foot here and one foot there. I'm still looking at brochures about the vacation where I'm going, talking about what I'm going to do when I get there. Are you with me? See, I'm still here, but I'm going there. Hallelujah. I'm going to heaven. I can't wait to get there. I can't wait to see so-and-so and so-and-so. I can't wait to talk to this person, that person. Hey, God's up there. Jesus up there. The angels up there. And all of our families up there. Hallelujah. Those that know Jesus, that's where I want to go. Amen. That's where Larry is. That's where Larry is. And that's where every one of your loved ones that know the Lord, that's where they are. And I, you know, looking around, I hope, I pray that most everybody here I know is saved, knows the Lord. My goodness, don't miss this. Don't miss this. The most important thing you ever do in your life is to turn your life over to Jesus Christ, to come out of your old life, to turn away from your sin and come to Jesus and procure heaven. Hallelujah.